Does America have Christian roots, and does it matter? There was a poll from the Pew Research Center a few months ago which said of fellow Americans on the left, 69% said that the Bible should have little or no influence on the laws of the U.S., including 53% who said it should have no influence. And yet, if you tour different places in Washington, D.C., including the National Archives, and you know what you're looking for, you can understand why somebody like Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, once said, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests." Author Stephen McDowell is the president and co-founder of the Providence Foundation, and he often leads tours on our nation's Christian roots, including in the D.C. area, at such places as the National Archives. I'm Jerry Newcomb, Executive Director of Providence Forum, a division of Coral Ridge Ministries, and today we welcome back author and Christian Tour Director Stephen McDowell, again, co-founder of Providence Foundation. And Dr. or Stephen McDowell, we welcome you once again. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be with you again, Jerry.
Sure. So you lead tours a lot in Washington, D.C., and boy, I would love to be a fly on the wall on some of those tours just to learn more and more and soak up the information. Tell us about the National Archives.
Well, the Archives' purpose is to preserve America's official documents. And they have billions of pages of things that government has produced over the years. But the most important things that the National Archives preserves are our founding covenant, the Declaration of Independence, and really what we could call the bylaws of our nation, the United States Constitution. So if you visit that building today, there in Washington, they are on public display in the rotunda of this building, the National Archives, for you to be able to see those original documents, the Declaration, you know, which was of course signed in the summer of 1776. It's been exposed to sun over the years, and actually you can barely see the text at all. But the original documents there, and you'll notice they take a lot of pains to keep and preserve them. They're in climate control cases that are, under very thick glass. It's to keep and preserve them. They have great historical value, yes, but the greatest value they have is the ideas that they contain reflect the worldview of those who founded this nation, and both those documents are full of biblical ideas. Without the ideas that came forth from the Bible, there would be no such thing as the Declaration of Independence or the United States Constitution.
You know, it's so interesting to me about this. We don't have the exact, first documents of the Bible, and yet we have copies of the Bible that reflect those original ideas. If somehow, heaven forbid, the National Archives were to be blown up, that doesn't mean that the ideas in contained and even the wording of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution would still persist despite, the originals being gone to history.
Yeah, and we have thousands of copies of these documents that we used to study them in our schools and understand what they mean. Unfortunately, most schools don't do that anymore. But, in Thomas Jefferson, he was on the committee that drew up the Declaration of Independence, and he was, John Adams suggested, hey, why don't you be the chief guy to write this? And the ideas that he put, which had some additions and adjustments by the committee and then the delegates at large later, a few changes. But the ideas he presented were not new. They had been developed really for generations and generations. He was just expressing in a very eloquent way the common ideas that about everybody in the United States embraced. And he was putting forth to declare to the world, this is what we are doing uniquely as a group of people. We are covenanting together to form a new nation. one built upon Christian self-government. That's really what is unique about American polity, reflected in the Declaration and actually reflected in state documents before this, is that it wasn't some king or ruler, a group of rulers that were making up some laws and imposing upon the people, but it was the people themselves who had been enlightened by their pastors and churches for to understand how to think biblically. They were coming together. They were writing, you know, these ideas. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, as Jefferson begins that second paragraph, that they had adhered to a set of truths that emanated from the Creator, and it was the people who agreed to them. Now, of course, these were the representatives of the people who were at that convention in Philadelphia in 1776, but it was representatives selected by the people in all the 13 colonies that were affirming, this is what we believe. We hold to truths that are rooted in the scripture. And, you know, we could talk for hours just upon the biblical ideas that are found in both of these documents. And in some of our writings, we explore that in much more detail. But that was what was unique. It was the people themselves. It was because we don't live under ruler's law, where the rulers make the law and impose them on the people. But we have people covenanting together under God to form a civil society, and they had the character and to want to obey these laws that they formulated, but they could formulate good and godly laws because they had been prepared from Christian homes and churches of how to think biblically and to put forth laws that reflect the state of reality of the universe that the God created in the moral fabric of the universe when he created it.
What would you say to somebody who says, look, Jefferson was not a believer, or they might use some examples from his later writings when he seemed to have, some serious doubts about some of the serious doctrines of the Christian faith. But in effect, what they want to do is read the unbelief of the later Jefferson into the belief of the earlier Jefferson. And in any event, Jefferson is representing the people back home as well as, all the 56 men that were there at the Constitutional Convention. So what is your thought about that, about Jefferson's own crisis of faith personally? Does that, in effect, nullify the Declaration of Independence, the idea that our rights come from the Creator?
Well, actually, what it does, it expresses a very important idea, is that even the non-Christians in early America, and we could debate if Jefferson was a true believer or not, but that's not the point. The point is, even non-Christians like A. Franklin or a few others, they embraced biblical truth. When he said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they were expressing a biblical idea. So even the non-Christians had a biblical worldview of government, while today most Christians in our society have a pagan view of government. And that shows the difference in the problem today. So Jefferson, whether he was a Christian or not, reflected biblical ideas in this document that spoke of Creator endowed rights, spoke of the laws of nature and of nature's God. They appealed to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of their intentions with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. Multiple times, God is mentioned, the Creator is mentioned, and that's because everyone, even the non-Christians, basically had a biblical worldview. That's why when he said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, just about every American adhered to a set of truths. They believe there is such a thing as truth. Now, today, only a third of the American people believe that there's such a thing as absolute truth. Back then, just about everybody, 100%, believed there was such a thing as absolute truth. And truth was defined by the Creator. And that's what they covenanted around. They covenanted around this common idea. We all adhere to a set of truths. This is why the nation was so could be built and you be united for 250 years is because it was built upon the truth that there is a creator and that he is the source of what's right and wrong. And that's who, for most of our history, we have looked to decide what's moral or immoral, lawful or unlawful. And that's what we united around from the very beginning. And if we want to remain a united nation today, we must sow these common set of truths that emanate from the Creator as reflected in the Bible. And this can be embraced by Christian and non-Christian alike, because when we embrace the truth of the Creator, it's good for us. It's good for our nation. It produces life, produces liberty, produces blessing when we do that.
Can we retain our freedom if we lose that? I mean, I'm thinking of that quote from Thomas Jefferson where he said, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And can those liberties be sustained, you know, when basically people start abandoning faith in God?
Well, you know, we have a union, the United States of America. We united together because we united around a set of beliefs. And if we abandon those beliefs, then we abandon the whole basis of our union. And so, I mean, we've seen this in more recent generations as we have abandoned those biblical principles upon which our nation was founded. We have more turmoil and chaos and clash among worldviews is taking place today. So no, we will gradually lose what made us the United States of America. We will gradually lose our liberty if we abandon the principles that produced them in the first place. And that's why it's so important that we teach this in our homes, our schools, and our churches in order to keep America the most free and prosperous nation the world has ever seen.
Well put. Okay, how about a comment about the Constitution, which is also found there in the National Archives?
Well, the Constitution is really, we could call it the bylaws. The Declaration is the covenant. It explains why we form this nation and how we look to God. In the bylaws, it reflects we could call it a biblical power and form of government. So the spirit of the Constitution is reflected in ideas like the rule of law, creator-endowed rights, Christian self-government, religious freedom, private property rights, even the trial by jury of peers under the law of God. You know, these are important biblical principles that your government should protect and preserve. And they reflect an internal spirit. And then the external form of our government also reflects biblical ideas like representative government. We don't have a government of men, but we have a government of laws, and that we choose individuals to represent us in the seat of government. Our Constitution embraces this idea of the separation of powers, because the founders of America had a biblical view of man. Man is sinful and fallen. You can't trust him with too much power, so you have to divide the powers of government. Every government exercises a legislative, executive, and judicial power, makes laws, interprets laws, executes laws. And if you're wise and have a biblical view, you'll separate those among different people and groups of peoples, setting up a series of checks and balances. So those separation of powers, that idea reflected in our Constitution, is based upon the Christian idea of man and government. And those are just a few things that show this document, our Constitution, both the power and the form of that document are biblical.
Stephen McDowell, ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. Stephen, thanks once again.
All right. Thank you. Great to be with you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.